on the boss. He burst out laughing. She grinned at her windshield again. When he stopped laughing, she said, "Before you go take care of business, how about you? All good?" He didn't answer. "Carlo," she called. "You there?" There was another moment of silence before, in a low voice, he stated, "You've never asked me that." Six didn't grin at that. "I just finished a job and have a long drive home," she lied. She was now 5 minutes away from Stellan's. "Just killing time."
"No, you aren't. You've got the hots for me."
That set her to grinning again. "I've known you 4 years. I don't know your last name, and you have a way with a switchblade that scares even me, and I'm totally badass. You're not my type."
"What's your type?"
he asked, part teasing, part curiosity. "Tall, dark, rich men who are as beautiful inside as they are on the outside," she thought. "I haven't met him yet," she said, lying to a friend yet again.
"Right,"
Carlo muttered. "I'm bored now," and there was another lie.
"Right,"
that was said on a chuckle. "I'm also hanging up on you now," she warned him.
"So what's new?"
he asked. It was then he heard her chuckle. But with her thumb hovering over the button on her steering wheel that would disconnect their call, quietly she said, "I never thanked you, and I should have thanked you. So now I'm going to say it, mean it, and it'll be done until you call the marker that you earned for doing it. Thank you for saving my life, Carlo. I owe you one." With that, she disconnected. She wasn't breathing easily, but she managed to get herself together as she completed the drive home to Stellan's. She parked next to his Maserati, and as she walked in the back door, she could practically taste the martini he'd no doubt make her since she was home at a relatively decent hour, and she was now unsure she could live without his excellent martinis. They were that good. It was on the tip of her tongue to shout, "Honey, I'm home," as she tossed her cell phone, binoculars, and purse on the island. Fortunately, Stellan wandered into the great room from the direction of the stairs before she said it. "Hey," she greeted.
"Hey,"
he returned on a smile, coming her way. She watched, and seriously, threat of death, she wouldn't have been able to pick a favorite between his workwear, his casual wear, or his loungewear. Though naked was the best, him right there in low-slung burgundy drawstring knit pants and a short-sleeved gray henley that clung to his chest was definitely her current fave.
"You're done early,"
he noted. "There's nothing else to get, and watching him watch TV was definitely not a thrill a minute," she replied. As he came to a stop in front of her, his smile changed in a way Six liked very much, with certain parts of her body liking it especially.
"I wonder if we can find something that will keep you amused."
She could drop to her knees in front of him, pull that drawstring waistband under his balls and suck him off. It wouldn't be amusing, but it would be a definite thrill a minute. She hummed as he bent in and touched his mouth to hers in a sweet greeting. "I was thinking of starting with a martini," she remarked when he pulled back.
"If there's nothing else you can get on this man, does that mean you're done with work for the weekend?"
he asked. She nodded.
"Then it's the weekend, Simone, so I might make you a drink later. But now I'd like you to walk upstairs, get undressed, and sit naked at the end of our bed with your legs crossed, leaned back into your hands at your sides. In that position, you'll wait for me to come to you."
She stared up at him. He allowed her to do that for a few seconds before he prompted,
"Is there something about those instructions you don't understand?"
"So we're playing?" she queried.
"Is it the weekend?"
he returned. "Yes," she answered.
"Then yes, that's the deal. And obviously play can wait while work needs to get done. But if there is no work to be done, you're mine.
You're mine."
thought that had an amazing ring to it. He moved, so his face was closer to hers. Darling, you're not walking to our room.
Right,
she whispered. He straightened. She skirted around him. Her legs were a little wobbly as she made her way to their bedroom. They were more wobbly, and her breasts felt heavier. Her nipples definitely were hard. As she took her clothes off in the walk-in and threw them in the hamper, she took a minute to check her makeup and hair in the bathroom mirror, and had a subtle spray of perfume. Then she walked out to the bedroom and sat at the end of the bed, like Stellan had instructed. As she stared at the door, waiting for him to arrive, she could feel the beat of her heart in her neck, pulsing right down to her nipples. And her mind was flashing from thought to thought, imagining what he might do to her. She'd watched him at play a lot, but this was not a playroom in the honey or a playroom at all. And regardless, last weekend, his work with her had been far more intimate than any she'd seen him do with another sub, even when there were three other men in the room with him while he did it. In other words, what he intended to do to her could be anything. This meant her stomach felt odd in a fluttery way, and her pussy was drenched, her clit throbbing, and her nipples so hard they hurt. And the longer he made her wait, and the minutes stretched into more and then more, the worse it got. She knew this game. She'd played this game a good deal with her subs. The longer you sat in a vulnerable position and waited for attention, the longer you had to think on what that attention might be, or what you wanted it to be, or what your dom was feeling knowing you were in that state and it was just getting worse, the more worked up you became. She'd once made a sub wait so long for her to touch him. When she did, he'd come instantly and without permission. So, of course, he'd come again, with permission, a much, much longer and far more arduous time later. In other words, she had to pull herself together and keep it together. She couldn't lose it like that with Stellan. Not Stellan. Not her master. She uncrossed her legs and recrossed them, staring at the door, trying not to lick her lips, rub her thighs together, or call out just to see if he was close. Stellan made her wait longer. And even longer. When she was ready to scream, aware of every inch of her skin, all of it sensitive, even simply exposed to the air, brilliantly uncomfortable in a position that was not designed to give discomfort, but with the length of time she had to wait to be in her dom's presence, to have his attention, it was becoming excruciating. He sauntered in. Her pussy pulsed when she saw what he had in his hands. Left, a tube of lube. The right, a relatively substantial, wide, squat, steel anal plug. Her mouth started watering. He walked up the steps and to her, coming to a stop at her feet. He tossed the lube and plug to the bed beside her. Then his hands moved to the hem of his tee. He tugged it off and dropped it to the floor. Staring at his chest, Six bit her lip. "Take off the plug, darling, and prepare it," he murmured warmly. More than ready for the games to begin, Six turned her head to the bed to grab the toy, but it was forced back with a crooked finger under her chin so we could catch her gaze. "I gave you an order, Simone. How do you reply?" he asked. She stared into his eyes, pulling it up, ready to give it to him, needing to give it to him. So she gave it to him. "Yes, master," she whispered. The flare in his heated blue gaze that left it blazing raged up her pussy straight to her womb. "Excellent," he whispered back. The adoration in his tone mingled with the intensity in his eyes and settling warmly throughout her body. He stroked her chin with a finger, lifting it to sweep it across her lips before he straightened away. Six swallowed and turned back to the toy. With practiced hands, she lubed it, and with the width of it, she did this generously. Stellan took the lube from her, dropped it to the bed, and she sat at its edge, head tipped back, waiting again for her next instruction. Her entire body started trembling when he undid the drawstring on his pants, let them drop to just below his ass, but planted his feet wide so they stayed right there, stretched across his upper thighs, with his now exposed cock standing out thick, long, and proud, his balls heavy but drawn up tight. Damn, it was actually painful not to bend forward and take him deep in her mouth. But when he said what he said next, it set the trembles she was experiencing to rolling quakes. Now slide that toy inside me, darling, and fuck me while you do it. Her eyes locked to his, she sat motionless except for the involuntary quivering. He tipped his head to the side. Do I have to ask again? You want me to. You want to be. She couldn't finish. Master Stellan wanted to be... fucked? And plugged? He finished for her. Fucked and then full when I play with you? Yes, she forced out. That is what I told you to do, he reminded her. Do you? Her voice came out pitched high and his lips quirked. She pulled it together and asked, have you done this before? When I display a slave at the club, it's her I want displayed. It's her I want to have the attention, not me. So when I work plugged, I wear pants. And when I fuck plugged, it's with my front to the windows. Oh my God, she breathed. She'd had no idea. How hot was this? Too hot. Darling, don't delay. I have something planned I'm looking forward to, and I'd like to get on with it. Six wanted to get on with it, too, in a big way. And she wasn't going to miss this opportunity. So she leaned toward him, reaching around, her neck straining with the deep bend she had to use to keep contact with his gaze, because she absolutely wanted to watch his face as she filled him. You can use your other hand to open me, he murmured. Okay. Man, God, she was going to come doing this. She was going to come sliding inside Stellan. Suddenly his hand flashed out and he pinched her nipple pitilessly. She jumped and moaned as that pinch exploded in her clit. Plug me, he bit. Six wrapped her hand around his cheek, opening him, and with the plug in the other one she slid it along his crease until the end caught at his hole. She pressed it to him. His hand came to rest on the side of her neck, but not for long. It went up and back, fisting in her hair at the back crown and straining her neck even further, as he pulled her back and bent to put his face into hers. She pressed the plug deeper. He growled. Oh, yes, this was hot. The lips of her pussy shivered and her breath started to come out raspy. She pushed in deeper and then started stroking. After you're done filling me, darling, he murmured roughly, I'm going to turn you on your knees and fuck your ass. With fingers splayed, face in the bed, you're going to hold yourself open for me and beg me to fuck you deep. Take you hard, not to stop. Then I'm going to come in you and on you, all over you. And you are going to thank your master for his come and ask him for more. Yes, she breathed, pressing the toy in deeper, gliding it out, in, out, opening him, pushing it further and further with each stroke. I should have thought to find a switch mistress to fill me, he purred. They know how to take ass better than anyone. He came closer so his lips were nearly on hers. But I'm glad I waited for you. I am too, she whispered. She went deeper and his hand in her hair fisted tighter. This will be it, Simone,
he told her, his gaze totally turned on and tuned into her. But something had gone serious in it. Dead serious.
I'll have your ass. You'll have had mine. We'll have claimed everything. Which means you'll be fully mine, as I will be yours.
I will be yours. She started shaking. Stalin.
His other hand captured her nipple, pinching and twisting, and she cried out and drove the plug deeper than intended, earning a pleased grunt.
Who am I to you?
He reminded her gruffly.
Master, she said.
That's my Simone,
he returned, pressed into the plug, and she got the hint, drove it home, and he commanded, hold on to my ass. She did with both hands. Using her hair, he pushed her down. His other hand now wrapped around his cock, he forced it into her mouth. She accepted it gladly. Sucking him while he fucked her face and held her head stationary to take his thrusts, she tried to beat back the moans, the writhing of her hips against the bed, the pressing of her thighs against each other, and Stellan didn't miss it.
If you come, you will be punished.
She honestly didn't care. Both his hands spanned her skull and he drove into her mouth relentlessly as she held tight to his ass and let him. It went on for what seemed like tortuous hours, but was only tortuous minutes before he pulled out, kept one hand on her head. The other hand he wrapped around his dick and teased her by brushing the glossy silk of the tip against her lips.
Are you ready to get fucked, Simone?
Yes, master.
She breathed. She just got that out before she was up, turned, positioned with her knees tight together, her ass back and on offer, her face shoved into the bed.
Splayed fingers, open yourself for me,
he growled. She did. She vaguely heard something plop on the bed and knew he was lubing himself for extra slickening to ease the way. But that was the only way he eased his penetration. One of his hands landed on the small of her back, as he drove into her to the root with a glorious grunt, at the same time she let out a sharp cry. And then he took her ass like it was what it was. His, and his alone, for his use however he wanted to use it. It was glorious. He thrust deep and stayed planted.
Beg me, Simone,
he bit out.
Fuck me, master,
she begged into the bed. Please fuck my ass. He again took her deep, hard, forcing her body into the bed with each stroke.
Open wider for me, he ordered.
She pulled herself wider and he kept at her.
Don't stop, master. Please, please keep fucking my ass, she pleaded.
You're hot up there, darling,
he growled.
Christ, hot and tight. Take it,
she breathed.
Is it mine?
Yes, yours,
she pushed out. Only yours. She closed her eyes, her body shaking. It and nothing of it under her control. So the word she said next slipped right out.
Stalin, baby, I need to come.
Not yet, Simone.
I can't hold.
You will hold.
Baby.
He made a low, reverberating noise so exquisite. Her body locked to give what it could to her master, her attention shifting from her need to release entirely to him. He grunted,
hold,
right before he shouted out his orgasm, pulsing his cum in her ass before he pulled out and jetted more on her cheeks, in her opened crease, everywhere. She felt the head of his cock prodding her flesh, and knew he was milking himself and jacking into her, using her as resistance to keep coming. And it was so sublime she tasted blood as she bit the inside of her lip to hold back her own climax. She heard him take in a deep, broken breath, then felt his thumb slide up her ass, two fingers drive into her pussy, and he commanded, brusquely, You can come for me now, Simone.
She exploded instantly, holding position, shuddering in the ball of body offered up to her master. Face in the bed, ass and pussy his for the taking. When she started coasting down, her breathing still erratic, his voice came at her again.
Thank me,
he ordered huskily, his fingers and thumbs still inside her, but now stroking gently.
Thank you, master.
Ask me for more.
Please, master, I need more of your cum.
Lovely, darling,
he murmured. Tonight, we're going to sleep with my cum in you everywhere you can take it. Sleep with it coating your ass and cunt and belly and breasts. Sleep with a plug inside to keep me inside you. Sleep with your master a part of you, inside and out.
Yes,
she whispered to the bed.
Crawl to my nightstand. Get your plug. Bring it back to your master.
His fingers were still planted inside her, but to allow her to carry out his instruction, he slid himself free, and she crawled to his nightstand to retrieve the smaller plug he kept there. As she crawled back, he drawled,
When you get here, darling, up on your knees facing me. Hand me your plug, then prepare to take it by opening for me.
She arrived back to him, seeing he'd righted his pants, and wishing he hadn't. But that was not her choice.
And God, but she liked it like that.
Because she'd get it back, but only when he was ready to give it to her. She lifted up on her knees, slightly spread, gave him the plug, put her hands where he wanted them, and did what he'd told her to do. Only then did she look right into his eyes and say clearly, Yes, master. His face shifted to a pure beauty of vicious possession, as another sound came from him, low again, deep, and this time feral, as he took her mouth in a hard, wet kiss. At the same time, he reached around and drove her plug up her ass. And there was no way around it, no matter how she might want to look at it or how hard her subconscious was trying to make her escape from it. In that moment, she knew it. She was claimed. His lips slid from hers to her ear.
It's time to see how my Simone reacts to being restrained,
he whispered there. She shivered, top to toe. And she could swear she felt his smile against her ear. Stellan was fucking her face again and eating her, while she was tied to her back, to his bed, with black silk sashes, wrists and ankles, both spread wide. Six was watching his plugged ass move as he thrust into her mouth and ate her out, in the throes of agony, since he'd played with her pussy to orgasm and again, then fucked it to his orgasm and another of hers. So it was excruciatingly sensitive. And that was after he'd fucked her tits and come all over them. With a soft grunt sounding intimately against that exact sensitivity, he came down her throat, and she scrambled to swallow as he ordered, No, before he sucked hard on her clit, then licked over it, drove his tongue inside, and she came in his mouth. She shuddered lazily through her climax, focusing more on milking his cum from his cock. So gone, lost in the scene, lost to him. It was almost like it was happening to an alternate Six, and she was out of body watching it. He'd done what he'd promised, and she was covered in his seed, ass, cunt, breasts, belly, and now it was down her throat. He took her with him over the edge each time and then some, so now she was spent, lax under him, her pussy quivering against his laving tongue, her mouth nursing his cock. Eventually, he gently slid out, and she laid there unmoving for him, as he slipped the knot on each wrist, each ankle, then positioned between her legs, lowered his body to hers and murmured his command.
Arms and legs around me, darling.
Like she was in a dream, her limbs drifted to do as she was told.
Are you even conscious?
He asked, and at the teasing lilt to his voice, she focused on him, mildly.
I think so, she answered. We're done playing, Simone. Though you keep the plug until morning, and you won't be washing me away.
Okay by me, hot stuff, she muttered, and felt her most favorite feeling in the world. Yes, after multiple orgasms and mind-shattering sexual play, what she felt right then was still her favorite. His body was shaking against hers with his quiet laughter. That made her focus on him a lot less mild. His fingers came to her jaw, his thumb moving over her cheek to the corner of her lip, along the lower one and back, as he studied her face.
You okay? She asked softly, seeing his face was sated, relaxed, content, but feeling something off. You slipped right into role this time.
She grinned at him, giving him her own tease. Miss Six? His thumb halted and his eyes grew intense on hers. His did not hide. He was startled.
I'm sorry?
He asked. In the peace of the aftermath of a beautiful scene, suddenly, her insides grew cold.
I don't... Oh, well, it's... She stammered, drew in a breath, and said, Of course, you don't miss her. I shouldn't have mentioned it. She's not gone.
Six stared up at him.
He continued, She's right here where she's always been, where she'll always be. She's not going anywhere. She's you.
I thought you wanted.
I want you. You. And you're Six.
But Simone.
There is no distinction, honey. I call you one name, others call you another. But in the end, they're one in the same.
His words were freaking her out so much her hands went from resting on his back to pushing in between them, not to force him away, but to find warmth.
Sweetheart,
he called questioningly. She couldn't be both. It was one, and it was never supposed to be the other. But she was out. She was his. Simone was his, as was Six. They just weren't one and the same. They couldn't be. How could she protect Simone, protect him, if they were? But there was no denying it. Not anymore. They were both out. They were both his. They were both who she was. Two halves made whole. His fingers moved back to cup her behind her ears, the pads carefully digging in, and even the tone of his voice communicated his concern when he said,
Simone,
I think I really kind of need to just pass out. She told him lamely.
That was too intense,
he declared. Her head twitched.
Sorry? That scene, it was too intense.
It was fine, Stellan.
It asked a lot of you.
No more than I've seen you ask of any of your subs.
You aren't any of my subs, Simone. You're you. The woman in my bed, my home, my life. This is just a part of what we have, and we're getting to know each other in that way, and... That scene was asking too much.
She was confused.
I can't imagine how. It required the strength of Six, with the openness and acceptance of Simone. They are one in the same, but you clearly don't know that yet, so... Introducing you to yourself through fucking you was not the way to go.
She was still confused. But didn't you do that last Sunday?
No, I broke Six last Sunday. Six submitted to me last Sunday. I didn't have Simone last Sunday. I didn't have her tonight. Tonight, I had it all.
He did. She'd given him it all. He moved suddenly, rolling off of her but hooking her with an arm like he was going to drag her out of bed. All of a sudden, panicked, she clamped on and cried, "Wait!" Stellan lifted a hand and cupped her jaw.
"We're showering, and then we're..."
"No," she exclaimed desperately, pushing into him with her body, wrapping her arms back around him, holding on tight. She couldn't lose what he'd given her that night. She couldn't lose what she had of him. She couldn't lose what she'd given of herself. "Darling," she shook her head where it was resting on the pillow. "I don't want to lose you. I don't want to wash you away." His voice went supremely tender. "Simone, we need to exit this scene completely. We'll talk about it tomorrow."
"No." Six kept shaking her head. "We can't. I want to keep it. Don't make me lose it."
He studied her face so acutely she couldn't handle it, shoved it in his throat and held him even tighter.
"Let's just go to sleep, baby," she whispered there.
"Can we just go to sleep?" He hesitated before he replied quietly,
"We can, darling. But before we do, I need you to take the plug from me."
She nodded, moving her hand toward his ass. She didn't get there before he murmured,
"Will you kiss me while you do it?"
At the request, being an actual request from Stellan, so quiet, so beautiful, her hand stopped, her eyes closed, and her heart wrung out like someone was squeezing the blood from it. It did this only for it to be let go so new, clean, uncontaminated blood could pump through it, through her veins, through her entire body. She tipped her head back and caught his gaze before she moved in to take his mouth and slid her hand to his backside. She took the plug from him slowly, gently, absorbing his corresponding purrs in her mouth as he took her tongue and sucked sweetly at it when he'd been released. He ended the kiss, kissed her chin, her nose, then pulled carefully away, taking the plug from her before he left their bed. She curled her legs into her belly and watched him walk to the bathroom. He was not gone long, and he made short work of turning the lights out around the room when he returned. He then rejoined her in bed, immediately pulling her into his arms over his body. So she was straddling his thigh, her forehead in his neck, his hand at her ass, his other arm holding her close to him around her back.
"Sleep, Simone," he urged softly.
She nodded against his skin, staring at the shadows of his chest and shoulder. But she knew sleep would not come. In the dark, held by Stellan, covered with him, filled by him, she looked back at their time together and realized it had happened long before that night. And because of that, she had no choice but to make a decision. So she did. This decision did not make sleep any easier. In fact, it was just the opposite. She also knew Stellan did not sleep, probably feeling her awake, sensing her disquiet, but oh so Stellan, not prodding at it. He was like that, and would not rest, knowing she could not. This should have made her decision easier to take. It did not. But no matter how difficult it was, for the both of them, she had to carry it out, without delay. They had tonight. And tomorrow. Tomorrow would be whatever it would be. Though she knew what it would be, and she hoped the night never ended. But Six had learned a long time ago not to hope for impossible things. The night would end. They always did. And then it would be tomorrow. On that thought, Six fell into an uneasy sleep. Only then did Stellan join her there. 18. Dynamic Duo. 6. Six woke the next morning to an empty bed. She didn't panic. Stellan was good at giving her space, especially after things got intense. Although she didn't panic about that, her belly felt like it was filled with lead, her body like it was encased in concrete, and it was without a doubt the hardest thing she'd ever done in her life, rolling out of that bed. When she made it to the bathroom, she saw a cup of coffee on the warmer, but other than that, nothing. No lingerie, no note. Pure Stellan. He was worried about her, so he was not going to take them there. That morning it would be Simone and Stellan. Maybe a day of movies or going shopping, or perhaps driving up to Prescott to spend the day out of the heat. Whatever she wanted. Whatever she needed. Yes, God, yes, what she had to do was the worst thing she'd ever had to do in her life. But it had to be done. She slid out his plug, washed it, and set it on the towel laid out on the counter next to the one he'd cleaned last night. Isn't hers plugs? It was the woman she was. It was the couple they were. It made the sight of their shared intimacy set her nearly to collapsing in uncontrollable tears. Instead, she did something else she didn't want to do. She got in the shower and washed him away. When she got out, she lotioned up. It was Phoenix. In that dry climate, no matter what was happening, you couldn't miss that step. But she didn't do makeup or perfume or fashion her hair into adorably fuckable. She would go to him as she was. Simone Six Marchesa. Baird. Real. She moved out to the bedroom, right to the end of the bed. Six stood by the tea Stellan had left on the floor, and deliberated far too long on whether to nab it or put her own clothes on. In the end, she was selfish. She needed it, needed some part of him near. So she bent and grabbed it, pulled it on, went to the walk-in and got a pair of panties. She slid them up, stood there, took a deep breath, then another and a third. Only then did she set about doing what she had to do. She went to the drawer where she'd hidden them under some clothes. And she retrieved them. All of them. She then walked into the bathroom, got her coffee, walked into the bedroom, threw it, and left the room. On the way down the stairs, she saw him out on the patio, in his chair with his coffee cup, staring at his pool. Shoulders wide, bared and tan. Dark hair, still messy from sleep. Her heart slid right up into her throat. She swallowed it down, set her coffee mug on the island, and went to the library. One last bit. She got what she went there to get, stacked it at the back of the pile she had, and held them all to her chest. She did not stop again to take more breaths. She had to do this and do it now, or she wouldn't. So she moved quickly, directly back to the great room, to the doors to the back deck. The second she opened the door, Stellan twisted in his seat to look at her, and her heart started pounding, her throat closing tight. He was just so beautiful. So, so beautiful. She closed the door behind her and moved toward him, seeing his gaze had dropped to what she was holding against her chest, and his handsome face had changed. It had frozen. But his body hadn't. He got up and moved free of the chair to stand at its side, in his burgundy drawstring pants from the night before. His glorious, powerful chest was bare. The waist of the pants was hanging so low on his hips, they were hanging almost negligently, the weight of the drawstring dipping to the point the curves of muscles that formed a V to highlight his pubis were exposed, and the very top of his dark pubic hair peeked over. Like that, in all his considerable glory, he watched her make her way to him, making that journey the most painful one she'd ever made. "Darling," he whispered when she stopped close. "Don't," she whispered back. His eyes were burning and she couldn't stand the heat. so she pushed the sketchbooks away from her and into his chest. Instantly, his arms rose and wrapped around them. Carefully. Lovingly. God. She started trembling as she stared up into beautiful blue eyes that had gone bright with unshed wet. He didn't know. He had no idea. This was touching him deeply. But Christ, knowing what she knew, what he'd soon find out, it was killing her. Come find me when you're done, she said softly. I want a chance to explain. It was guttural when he started. Simone, you might hate me when you have it all. I'll never hate you, he whispered. She shook her head. Don't say that now. You can't say that now. She dipped her chin to indicate the books. I can't be around when you read them, but I'll be waiting. With that, as fast as she could, she turned on her foot and left him. It would take him a long time, she knew. There were 12 of them, pages sized 18 by 24, 70 sheets. A lot of life. A lot of hideousness. So much ugly. Now in Stellan's hands. Even so, she had to prepare so she didn't chicken out during phase 2 of losing Stellan forever. But before, what she gave him made him let her go. She'd help him to understand fully why he needed to, so he could be free. Therefore, she went back up to the bedroom and got her LV cruiser bag. She took it down to the library, set it on the big round frost-blue upholstered ottoman with its carved wood base, that was at the center of the 4 buttery caramel leather nail-head-framed chairs. Stately, classy, inviting. Stellan. She left the room. Back in the kitchen, she warmed up her coffee, grabbed her laptop and phone, and headed back, not once looking at Stellan out on the deck. She settled into a chair and opened up her laptop, logging in, beginning to do some digging on Josh Coates, owner of 1/3 of the Bolt. She didn't get very far. Instead, her mind wandered, as she looked around the room, taking in the interesting ironwork around the cream sheets of glass on the chandelier, the rich wood inset shelving with their sconces in between, with single tapered candles in them, the built-in architect's lamps over each set of shelves, the window seat in the wood-framed bay with its thick, toss pillows. The room was big, but it seemed cozy, welcoming, like the rest of the house. It could so easily be overwhelming, austere, intimidating, but it wasn't. Like Stellan. At a glance, he was so visibly, physically superior. He was daunting. But the deeper you got inside, the warmth enveloped you, permeating you, drawing you further in, showing you the way home. She forced her mind back to Coates and kept it there long enough. She had to get herself another cup of coffee. She did, and again did not look at Stellan before she headed back to the library. Six had totally given up on Coates, as well as starting to dig into Barclay Richardson and Pete Beardsley, his two partners. Her mug was empty. Her eyes were aimed and staring vacantly out the window. But even lost to the nothingness she'd forced in her head in order to deal with what was to come, she still sensed his approach. Therefore, she was turned in her chair, but braced, and looking at the door when he came through it. She couldn't read his expression, but she noted he didn't have the sketchbooks. Please don't say anything, she begged quietly. He stopped just inside the door, opened his mouth, thought better of it, and closed it before walking to the chair beside hers, sitting and turning her way. She took him in, seeing his attention was focused entirely on her, but that was all she got from him. So very Stellan. When it happened, it would be quick and clean and as painless as he could make it. Before then, for him, so he could have it all, she had to get through phase 2. She took a deep breath and turned to the cruiser bag, pulling it off the ottoman and placing it on the floor by her feet. She opened it, reached in, and found the first of the three things in there she wanted to show him. She pulled it out and held it up for him. It was a cheap, plastic, small, tatty, stained baby doll. "Dad gave me this," she said, staring at it, remembering it wasn't in much better condition years ago when her father had given it to her. "I loved it when he first gave it to me. It was the first toy I ever got, the only toy I ever had." Her voice faded away as the memories returned, but she put effort into pulling herself back to the present, not getting sucked into and therefore lost to the past. This effort was easy. She'd had plenty of practice. "I played with it all the time." She turned her gaze to Stellan. "Until Mom was in a bad mood one day when I was playing with it. So she told me Dad had taken it right out of the hands of a little girl whose father owed them money." She drew in breath, letting it out, saying, "I didn't play with it after that." Stellan said nothing. His face was still expressionless, but his gaze never left hers. "I was 6, she whispered, and she watched his tall, lean body jerk. And there it was. Stellan never missed anything. I had to, Six swallowed. "I had to create her so she'd protect me. It didn't start that night they died. I'd been 6 half my life by then."
"May I talk?"
he requested quietly. "Can I finish first?" she asked back. Slowly, he nodded. Six set the doll on the ottoman and reached into the bag. She pulled out a cheap, stuffed crocodile. Staring at it, she shared, "My uncle won this for me. At the state fair. He took me and my friends, the ones he killed. He won it for me before he won ones for them. I knew why, even then. I knew. It made it seem normal. The sweet, handsome, kind uncle taking his niece and her friends to the state fair, throwing balls into holes to get his niece a stuffed crocodile. Then going the extra mile so they didn't feel left out and winning ones for them, too." She looked again to Stellan. "But it was his excuse. He was trying to impress them, draw them in. Doing stupid shit, such stupid, stupid shit. A man his age winning prizes at a fair for girls he wanted to fuck. After it happened, I would tell myself, he never grew up. He was good-looking and always had been. The girls dripping off him in high school. He talked about it all the time, how he was the big man about those good old days that were all about parties and pot and pussy. But as you get older, that has to translate to something more, or the girls won't keep coming around. And he was nothing. He was a loser and a dealer and a cheat. And his life carried on being about parties and pot and pussy, with the addition of more drugs and dealing them, and that was worse. So he had nothing. Was nothing. And he was left to target the girls who could be won over by cheap stuffed animals earned at a carnival game." She put the crocodile on the ottoman and again spoke to it. "That's just an excuse, though. I understand that. An excuse for what he was, what he did. He was just evil. In his early 40s, seducing 16 and 17-year-olds. Getting them high, hooking them on drugs." Her voice dropped to a whisper. "There were no excuses. He was just a monster. And the only way he was not was that he never touched me. Not even when he was drunk or high. But I almost wish he had. I almost wish he'd gotten from me what the monster in him needed. So he wouldn't have hurt anyone else. But I had to protect Simone. So I was sure to stay well away when the danger lurked. She had to remain safe. That was the only thing I had. The only thing I could do. I sacrificed friends to it, trying to be normal, to give Simone a chance at something good in her life.
I sacrificed friends to keep her safe. But at least I did that. At least she was safe from him. He never touched her. And to make that so, he never touched me.
Sweetheart, he said no more when she reached into the bag and pulled out a folded-over double frame. She opened it.
Corny, she muttered, staring at the pictures. And sick.
She took in what she'd seen thousands of times. One side, a bride and groom. The groom was in clean blue jeans and a crisp ironed white shirt, his long dark hair tamed in a ponytail at the back. The bride was wearing a tacky, shiny satin, cheap white strapless dress with a peplum and a too short and too tight skirt, hair teased out huge, face made up in Vegas showgirl with a palsy. They were making out like they really needed to get a room. The other side of the frame, a picture of two hands together, the woman's on top of the man's. It was akin to those traditional photos taken at traditional weddings. But on the ring fingers were bulky silver rings in which were etched in black the word hitched. It might have been cute if it wasn't them. But it was them, so it wasn't. Not looking at him, she handed the frame to Stellan. He was a user, she said when he took it. Coke, mainly. She wasn't. She was the brains of the operation. He wasn't her husband, the father of her child. He was her lackey. She used him as an enforcer, a bagman, a delivery boy, an available cock. I was a mistake, and she told me so more than once. Looking back, I see that I was the only thing she gave him. Because when they found out she was pregnant, she wanted to get rid of me, he wanted to keep me, and she wanted to keep him at heel. So she had me, so she could use me to keep him where she wanted him. She looked up at him, then her eyes again dropped to the frame in Stellan's hands that he wasn't looking at, because he was looking at her. And she kept talking. I don't know what went on between the time those pictures were taken and when I came around. He looked happy in that photo. But she always looked like that. Vulgar and common and mean. They're kissing, but I know them. I can see the looks on their faces and read them. He looked like he had the rest of his life in front of him and was looking forward to facing it with the woman in his arms. She looked like she was ready for him to get on with it and give her an orgasm. It never changed. For the rest of their lives, it never changed. He hoped. He dreamed. She used and schemed. She realized she was wringing her hands in her lap and stopped doing that. But she didn't stop speaking. He loved me. He was a mess and he was an addict. And he was under her thumb, so he wasn't good at looking after me. She closed her eyes tight and turned them back to Stellan, opening them. So? Six did her best to look out for him, too. She shook her head. It wasn't what you might think. The trauma of what happened in that room didn't split me in two. I had been that way for a long time. What I couldn't handle about what happened in that room was that he died for me, instead of the way it was supposed to go for Six. That happening the other way around. She vaguely noted he looked ill, as he would do with all this filth exposed, when he asked softly, "Can I speak now, sweetheart?" But it was like he didn't say a word. She kept going. I did those things in the sketchbook to prove I was better than her. Not much better, but I didn't ruin lives for a living. I have skills. I'm good at what I do. I was in demand. I had respect. I did them because I had this weird sense of invincibility. Like I survived that room, and I had to test life to see if that feeling was real. I did them because that was who I was. That was what they made. And I didn't think there could be anything else. And if that was the life I was born to lead, I was going to best it. Best her. I did those things because it was all I knew. And I was scared of breaking free and how that would affect me, harm me,
Affect Simone. Harm her. I did them because I constantly had to take risks to keep sharp so I could keep Simone safe. I did them because that was just... It was just...
She choked out the last word.
Me.
And each act you deemed unworthy scarred you,
he noted quietly. She gave a jerky nod.
You see? This six. But she hides the real me. It's a disguise. The six in my books is the real me.
He nodded once, but his was firm, not jerky.
And I'm assuming, to escape the anger and blame that dogged you due to your uncle's activities. You left school the minute you turned 18, never earning your diploma or GED. However, you had to survive, feed yourself. And there were a variety of things you could have done, including going into the family business.
You did not. You used your network of contacts to hire yourself out for anything but that.
Illegal activities, to be sure, aiding and abetting in the background, but never committing any felonies you masterminded for your own ends or your own gains.
Now it's you who's making excuses, Stellan, she whispered.
When you speak to me in that tone, darling, especially when we're talking about something this important, this intense, you call me baby.
Six sat up straight and blinked.
And I'm not making excuses, he went on to declare. I'm pointing out realities.
Did you read my sketchbooks? She asked dubiously.
Every page, every word. It was the honor I expected it to be from the minute I knew they existed. They moved me. They touched me. They filled me with anger as well as fear. They didn't surprise me, and they absolutely did not repulse me.
That's impossible to believe, she breathed.
How? He asked, not expecting an answer. He immediately went on.
Do you think I, or anyone who knows you, would have preferred you were the spunky girl who got your GED, went to beauty school, and set up shop doing hair?
No, because that wasn't the route you took to the you we all know and want in our lives.
Would you be more worthy of the people who care about you if you fought and scratched to get your diploma and then a law degree, and worked at that firm where you work now, except doing it as an attorney?
No, again, for the same reasons.
Stellan, I...
He lifted his hand with his palm facing her way and shook his head, interrupting her.
You can speak until you pass out, Simone, but you forget. I know you, and I knew you before I made my move to claim you. Perhaps I didn't know it in the depth and completeness I know it now, but that makes no difference to me.
It's speculation, but I would wager it's accurate that you did not wander into Arius's life randomly, and he did not offer to train you as a dominatrix out of the kindness of his heart, and his driving bent to offer nurture and care to everyone who partakes of kink. Even though, if he could, he would. He's just realistic enough to know he can't. And he does what he can for our kind. But instead, he met you through other means. And he doesn't give a damn what brought you to him. He's just glad you came into his life.
He was right about that and more. She hadn't thought about it like that. However.
But Stellan,
I'm in love with you, Simone.
She clamped her mouth shut and her body locked. Stellan kept at her.
I know myself, and I don't give a fuck if it sounds full of conceit. It's the damn truth that I know the kind of woman who would be worthy of me. And she is not simply beautiful. She is not simply intelligent. She's also not simply stylish or brave or protective or amusing. She would not have to be well-traveled or well-read, or have the love and adoration of scores of friends and family. She would have to be all this, perhaps without the scores of friends and family. For her, it would be no family and a handful of friends. And I know this is the woman worthy of me, because she's you.
Six didn't move. She didn't because she couldn't. She also did.